even without understanding the meaning, the sound vibration is very powerful. There's a wonderful purport which Srila Prabhupada has written saying what these verses discuss, and it's something like 36 different subject matters. Very comprehensive, although very compact. Describing the spiritual world, the material world, the process of creation of the material world, the hierarchy of living beings within the material world, and they're all, everything's flowing from Govinda, the original person. Very beautiful prayers. So, a few things for those of you that are newer here. The event this evening is initiation ceremony. The ceremony part is pretty obvious. Right here in the middle of the floor, we're going to start a fire. And the fire is part of the tradition that into the fire, grains and ghee, along with mantras, are offered, signifying purification, releasing one of karmic bondage by that act of sacrifice into the sacrificial fire, along with sacred mantras. Same as the procedure before the offering of purification of Om Apavitra, Pavitro va, sarvastam gato piva, yasmaret kundari kaksham, sabhaya abhyanta. It's a very nice mantra. Whether pavitra or apavitra, whether purified or unpurified, or for that matter having passed through all circumstances of life, that's the living entity that's journeying lifetime after lifetime through who can say how many species, how many different bodies, how many different lifetimes. So whether in a purified or unpurified state or whatever, ya smaret pundarikaksham, by smaret, by remembrance of the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, and by speaking his name, vibrating his name as we were doing, so, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami, that brings us closer to the position of remembrance of the Supreme Lord, who is our Eternal Father, who is the source of everything, including our bodies and our souls and whatever we think may be mine. I and mine are all his. And the sound vibration brings that awakening of the soul. Yasmarit pundarikaksham sabhaya abhyantara. One can pass over all fearful circumstances and become purified just by remembering him. And that primary means of awakening the remembrance is by sound, transcendental sound. I remember in college studying in an English course that the, at least hearing about, we didn't so much read, but the transcendental poets, Emerson and Thoreau. And I didn't really understand what transcendental meant. And then distributing Bhagavad Gita. It's on the back of Bhagavad Gita. Emerson and Thoreau saying, we studied Bhagavad Gita. And so there it was again, the transcendentalists. So what does transcendental mean? Transcendental is the world that's beyond what we can see with our material senses, or know through the mind. It's beyond one of the verses that we just chanted together. That you can, one of those verses, one of those nice verses says, if you were to build a spacecraft, a rocket ship, a conveyance that could travel as fast as the wind or as fast as the mind, that's pretty fast. Wind is fast and mind is even faster than the wind. And travel for millions and millions and millions and millions of years. The transcendental realm is still going to be farther away because it's in another dimension. It's beyond the mind and beyond the senses. That's what transcendental means. It's the spiritual reality that exists before this exists. It exists when this exists, and it continues to exist after this is finished. It's eternal existence. That's transcendence. And we're part of that. We belong to that. We're now in this foreign position, unfit, very uncomfortable, if you haven't noticed. Hot and humid. Then Chicago, then, you know, it's cold. Too hot or too cold. For a little while it seems, it's nice, and then it gets too hot or too cold again. So, the happiness is, it's compared to the punishment that kings used to use sometimes. Somebody was a criminal, and to teach them, don't do this crime again, they'd take them in a boat, immerse them in water, and the mean guys would hold the person underwater by his hair till he was like his lungs were going to burst. They lift him up, back down again. And hold him down till his lungs are ready to burst. Lift him up, take some air, back down again. So with the anticipation of happiness is material happiness. And then there's some senses meet a sense object and it goes, and then back down again. There's something there. That's what keeps people going for it. But it's illusory happiness. It's not real happiness. The standard of really real happiness is transcendental. It's not just the relief of distress or the experience of some sense touching a sense object of sound or smell or the sense of touch or see something beautiful, etc. That's not real happiness. That's illusory. Now you see it. Don't expect it to stay because it's not going to stay and then it's gone. Illusory happiness. So, to connect us with transcendence, there's sound vibration from transcendence. And the instrument for connecting with transcendence is the ear. It's really simple. Supposing somebody's asleep, every now and then somebody sleeps, and the other senses except for the ear are asleep. But the ear isn't asleep. That's why there's an alarm clock that says, you know, time to wake up, ding, 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 ding. So because that's one sense that's operating even when the other senses are asleep. Similarly, transcendence is contacted, even in this covered condition of forgetfulness, through sound, transcendental sound. And of transcendental sounds, the sounds of the names of God have all the potencies of God within each and every name. This is one of our core teachings. And therefore, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Yes? All traditions have that similar, if not identical, emphasis of praising God's name. So we've been spending this weekend having a festival of the Holy Name, and I'm going to share with you, those of you that weren't with us, a kind of introduction to the topic, and those that were with us, it's just a little review of one verse out of this little skinny book with called Nectar of Instruction. And we just discussed for a day and a half just one verse. So we're going to spend 10, 15 minutes on that one verse. It's text 7. If you don't have a copy, I believe, Madhubangal, yeah, there's copies out in the library. If you want, you can pick one up. But we're just going to take a look at one. I'm going to read it a couple of times. I'll spare you the Sanskrit because there's some people here that don't know Sanskrit. But the English translation. The Holy Name. Character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, or ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue and his disease. The disease of ignorance or avidya is gradually destroyed at the root. So lots of things to say because, as I said, we discussed for maybe 8 hours the sub points of this verse. But for those of you that are not familiar, jaundice is a liver disease that sometimes people get. And the nature of the disease of jaundice is that it's best cured. One of the natural best cures is rock candy. And the problem, it's medicine that is sweet, but when one has jaundice, the nature of the disease, jaundice, that which is the medicine tastes very bitter. I know from first-hand experience because I once had jaundice, without the detail. A mosquito got me. Malaria mosquito, and so that liver infection. And so I was curious, is rock candy really going to taste bitter? Boy, does it taste bitter. But the nature of sugar is it's sweet. But you can't taste the sweetness when you have jaundice. Similarly, Krishna is madhura or sweet like honey. And the natural attraction for that which is sweet is sweet. In addition to the object is sweet, the attraction to the sweet is sweet. I know some people that really like sweets. I won't say their names. They really like sweets. And they can taste it too. So the taste is sweet and the object is sweet, but when the condition of the living entity is ignorance, and the root cause of Prabhupada's teaching, the root cause of all suffering is ignorance. And the solution is to remove ignorance or awaken transcendental knowledge. But how do you do that? It's not just read books. Here it's impacted. It's you take that which is sweet, and although it tastes bitter perhaps at the beginning, gradually a taste awakens in the tongue and And the disease is gradually destroyed. The disease of avidya is gradually destroyed. How is that? Because when there's a taste for the sweetness of Krishna, that's bhakti, even if it's in the beginning stages, that bhakti, that wish, I wish to be connected with the supreme sweet, supreme source of everything, whose nature is very kind and very loving and very sweet. That bhakti in the heart has its subpotencies. One of those subpotencies is knowledge awakens. And that knowledge awakens is like the light going on. When the light goes on, the darkness is gone. Which is stronger, light or darkness? Really easy. So turn on the light. And the darkness is dispelled by this chanting of that which is sweet, but in the beginning may not taste sweet. Keep chanting with faith that it's good medicine initially. It may just be because I know I have a disease called material existence and I need some medicine. So it's appropriate medicine. And it cures the disease. And the taste awakens. I want to be in my relationship with the supreme source of everything. That's what these Brahma Samhita prayers are indicating for us. So this is initiation ceremony, initiation into the chanting of the holy name. Now the chanting of the holy name, anyone can do. A child can do, a fellow on the street can do, doesn't require certain birth or certain education or some wealth, or, you know, you have to, there's one qualification, you have to be a spirit soul. And that's probably every one of us. And if you have a body, it helps, because then you can use your tongue and use your ear to speak the sound and hear the sound. But even if there were disembodied beings here, like, you know, ghosts, there won't be any ghosts in the temple room, but if you were somewhere where there's ghosts, that sound vibration is going to act anyways, because they're a spirit soul. It goes right to the soul. And it awakens the original consciousness of the soul. It cleanses the soul naturally. So this is initiation into the chanting of the holy name, because it's received in this Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. It's received in this descending fashion through disciplic succession. It's there in the scripture, but we receive it, the scripture and the name, the mantra, in disciplic succession. And it's a formal recognition of being connected with Krishna through initiation into the chanting of the holy name. Recommended in this verse is carefully chanting. We spend a lot of time unpacking what that means. And one of the things that it means is avoiding offenses. We won't go into all of what there's 10 offenses mentioned in Padma Purana. And the outstanding root of all of them is inattentiveness. So we spend a lot of time discussing how to be attentive to the sound vibration when we're hearing and chanting. So I encourage Kundan to listen carefully to all those discussions multiple times. We didn't go through the list of 10 offenses. It's in the handout sheet that we circulated. But most important of all is attentiveness, and very simple, easy to apply and practice and live by principles of awakening attentiveness, as opposed to distracted, the flickering mind that doesn't want to stay in one place, like a flame, a candle flame in the wind. Flickering, the mind is like that, chanchala, and balavat, very strong. So, along with the initiation into the chanting of the holy names, Srila Prabhupada, when he gave initiation, commonly would encourage following of the restrictions, avoiding the offenses against the holy name, and many times would go through them one by one. So I'm not going to do that this evening because of our situation here. But anyone can begin the journey of awakening the dormant consciousness of the soul, awakening knowledge that's already there, but knowledge of transcendence that we've forgotten because we're covered with forgetfulness and ignorance. Turn on the light, and then you can see. And the calling of the holy name is a principal means for that. Carefully It's wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So it's a very important step for souls that are undergoing repeated birth and death. And who knows how many lifetimes and who knows how many species. It's wonderful for the congregation members who have known Kundan and her good husband for umpteen years. I remember how long ago did I start visiting your home when you had home gathering? Can you recall? I have a bad memory. Dates. 20 years? Your kids were little. You remember how long ago? 2001? 2001. Guru Purnima, 2001. You have a good memory. You must be not aging. People that are aging have something happens with the memory. It's a long time. It was a big celebration. I'm looking around the room at devotees that have known this couple for so many, many years. And it's fantastic to take that step of submission to disciplic succession, accepted by disciplic succession and Krishna. That's what's going on. Formalizing that. It's not that it hasn't been there. It's just formalizing. That's what initiation is. And then continuing the journey back home, back to Godhead. So something that I like to do, I haven't spoken with Nityananda Pran about this, but are you prepared to speak up some words? Okay.
So one of the reasons Rati Prabhu is also sitting here is because Rati, his wife, Hemangi, myself, and another very dear friend, couple, Jagadananda, and his wife, we all used to have our weekly Bhakti Vriksha gathering in Amar and Kundan Prabhu's home every Friday. And that's where we pretty much, we could say, we started, right? And one thing that I remember about them is anyone who's hosted a program knows it's not, you know, necessarily easy. You have to prepare your home, you have to prepare. At least I know for a fact that neither of them ever was eager for us to leave or think that, oh, when will these people leave? They were very happy to host us. And because they were very happy, we were happy to sit there and, you know, keep on going. So thank you. From there, you know, each of us has moved on and done different things and still doing different service. But it all started in your home and you hosted us very, very lovingly and caringly. And one thing I know about you, Mataji, is you like to fast. Every time we would meet her, she was fasting about something, and he would be very supportive as a husband, and just a very wonderful couple who had nice family, and they've settled well, a dutiful family, and so thank you. It's a very wonderful step, and thank you for supporting her, getting her.
Okay, now it comes vows. You can come forward and offer obeisances, Prabhupada. Looking around the room, I'm seeing many of your family friends, and they're dancing inside, celebrating. Okay. So, how many rounds you would commit to chant every day? 16 minimum. Try more. Okay. Me too. And the four rules that you'll follow? You can say them, please. Okay. And you'll very carefully try to follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings. Very good. Would you like to know your initiated name? Kausalya Devi Dasi.
Kausalya Devi Dasi ki.
Lord Ramachandra, in his eternal pastimes, has an eternal mother in Ayodhya, and her name is Kausalya. So Kausalya Dasi. So let's begin.